Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I praise the Lord that you're able to join me today as I continue a message I've entitled, The Cleansing of Our Blood. And I was rather taken with a scripture that closes the book of Joel, found in the third chapter, verses 20 through 21, which declares, "But Judah shall dwell forever, and Jerusalem from generation to generation. For," this is the Lord speaking, "I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord dwelleth in Zion." And that word for I will cleanse their blood, that's a causative words, and it means that Judah shall dwell forever, Jerusalem shall endure from generation to generation, because the Lord dwells in Zion, and He's going to cleanse their, or our, blood that has not been cleansed. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at a verse in Psalm 72, which declares, again of the Lord, "He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in His sight." Did you ever think of your blood as being precious in His sight? Now, as we look at that declaration that He shall save or redeem their soul from deceit and violence, there are certainly external forces that first come to mind, those who would be literal physical enemies that would use deceit or violence, which is characteristic of the wicked and the evil generations of men. But also, there will be internal conditions I believe we can apply that to. He's going to save us, redeem us from deceit, that there won't be any more lies, any more covering over of who we really are, no more hypocrisy. We will be those genuine people, those unique individuals that God has created without masks, without dissembling. Psalm 51, 6 and 7, David is declaring, "Thou desirest truth in the inward parts." See, that's who God wants us to be, truthful before Him and before mankind. "Thou shalt make me to know wisdom, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." And also, as I was meditating and thinking about violence in terms of internal conditions, in one respect, I believe He's going to take all of the violence out of us. All of the fight. And now just hold with me there, because I know you might be thinking of that scripture, "Well, the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." But let's look at, again, also at scripture. We sometimes have the idea that, beloved, oh, we just have to gird up the loins of our mind, and we have to fight sin and fight false doctrine and fight the devil and fight the old man and fight carnality. And sometimes we can end up totally exhausted in that kind of warfare. But if you can hear it, let's hear what the word of the Lord was to one of the kings of Judah. His name was Jehoshaphat. And to do that, I would like to refer to the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles. That first verse declares, "And it came to pass after this also, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle." there was a great multitude. And it says in verse 5 that Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? That's a good prayer that we could pray today. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of the land before thy people Israel, and gave it us to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? See, he's claiming the promises of God. We can do the same thing. He goes on in verse 10, Now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. It said, verse 13, All Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, their children. Listen to this. Verse 14, here, in this difficult, impossible situation that the king and all of Judah was faced with, the word of the Lord came through Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite of the sons of Asaph, and came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he prophesied, and he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you. Take this as a word, beloved, for your life and your heart. Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle, and this is what I want you to hear, beloved, the battle is not yours, but God's. And then he gives some specific instructions. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come by the cliff of Ziz. Verse 17 says, Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Praise God. And it says, when they actually went out, how did they go? They didn't send warriors. They didn't send select military men. They sent the worshipers. He consulted, verse 21, with the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as he went out before the army, and to say, Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Beloved, that's a word for all of us today. Sometimes we think we are in such warfare, and in fact we are, but, and there was no question, the children of Judah, they were facing a tremendous odds. A multitude of enemy host was encamped around about them, but the word of the Lord was to praise Him, and that's what Jehoshaphat did. The singers went before. Beloved, what's your concept of warfare? I say to you, as we look at this Bible passage, victory comes through praise. We win through praise. We do wrestle, but beloved, there is a rest unto the people of God. The Lord wants you, beloved, to rest in this His Sabbath. So let the Lord take the violence out of you, if you will. You know, I want to read a passage from Isaiah, and I know it refers to that time in the future when the millennial kingdom, they will not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountains, says the Lord. But Isaiah 2:4 says, They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. And I believe this could be like an aspect of our personality, if you would. The plowshare, those are harvest tools. Pruning hooks, they're harvest tools. A plowshare cultivates, breaks up the ground. Pruning hooks are used to cut away dead growth to make room for new life. And so, beloved, there's something about resting in God, knowing that He will fight our battles for us. You know, David was a type of Christ. He illustrated that our God is a mighty warrior. He never lost a battle, David. But, you know, it's interesting, God would not allow David to build the temple, even though he so much wanted to. Why? He says, Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Again, I know it sounds like I'm going far afield, but we're talking about the cleansing of our blood. Beloved, we have a lot of negative preachers today. They're always fighting the devil. They're always negative. They're always against something. But beloved, may I suggest to you that God is raising up a Solomon company today, men and women of peace. David was a man of war, but his son Solomon was the one that was given the privilege of erecting the temple, and his reign was characterized by peace. The land had rest. Remember now, precious shall their blood be. Blood is precious in man's sight, even in our society. Why? There's a capital punishment, if you will, for those who would, according to society's laws, take a person's life. At least that's the way it used to be, certainly under the old covenant was. But it's also, the blood of man is precious in God's sight. Remember when Cain killed Abel? It says, the blood of Abel cries out to me, where is your brother? And he retorted, am I my brother's keeper? Beloved, we've been looking at Psalm 72. And again, what does that psalm say? He shall spare the poor and the needy. He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence. And precious shall their blood be in his sight. In Psalm 72, he's talking about the poor and needy, beloved. I guess that would probably rule out the Laodicean church, right, of Revelation, those that are spiritually in tune with that, the rich, those who are increased with goods, had need of nothing. What does he counsel them? He says, buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. And I would suggest to you that that gold is representative of the divine nature that God is perfecting in us. We are being perfected according to the stature of a perfect man, that of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, my time has again flown by, and I'm so enjoying this message, and I pray, as I am developing it slowly, that you will grasp how precious you are to the Lord and how beautiful is this work God is doing in our lives, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Well, I invite you now to share your prayer requests. If you have needs, know that this ministry has been raised up for over 50 years now to stand as a partner in prayer with God's people. The announcer will give our contact information. UCM partners, I thank you for your support, your love, your fellowship in the Spirit, your financial support, and most of all, your prayers. And I just ask God to bless you. Thank you for joining me today, beloved. I love you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.